Hey gang, you in a band in Austin? Tired of rehearsing in your garage because it's getting so hot out there? You dying, huh? Tired of people telling you to turn it down? Tired of people telling you to stop playing that same part of that song over? Well, let me tell you about Space Rehearsal and Recording. Space is a state-of-the-art, affordable venue for rehearsal and recording located just a few short miles south of downtown Austin. With 31 spacious rooms, they have the space for you to get the job done. Call them at 512-448-9518 or go to spaceatx.com. Space Rehearsal and Recording.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
I'm Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I have a fantastic show for you guys today. Franchise is back. Yeah, one of my favorite rappers here in town. He's back. He's got a new mixtape out called The Anime Tape, which is out now. He's got some videos out for it for a song called Snot Nose, another one for a song called Hennessy and Orchata. We get into it. We talk about how he makes music. We talk about religion. We talk about politics. We talk about the state of Kanye. All kinds of stuff. You can find out all you need to know about Franchise at franchise.com. He is playing at the Weird City Hip Hop Festival on September 18th and 19th at the Empire Control Room and Garage right here in Austin, Texas, with some of Austin and the nation's coolest hip hop artists, all right? So look that up. Go to franchise.com. Find out his shows. We will get into this conversation in just a minute. Let me tell you what's going on with me. As you know, we are doing episode 400 next Wednesday, July 29th at the Townsend from 8 to 10 p.m. There is no cover. We are doing a live podcast recording. My guests will be AJ Vallejo, Susanna Schaffel, Jazz Mills, Nakia, and cocktail guru Justin Elliott. It's going to be a great time, man. Come on out. There's no cover. The Townsend is a brand new place. I played there on the grand opening night, and I had a great time. So come on out to that and celebrate with us. 400 episodes. You crazy? Also, one more quick bit of promotion. If you are in Austin on Friday, July 24th, Skyrocket will be playing at the 1-to-1 bar from 8 to 10 p.m. So come on out if you like Skyrocket. If you've never seen us, come on out. It's a good time. We're a fun band, okay? What did I do this weekend? Jeez, I did play with Skyrocket. Played Thursday night at Steiner Ranch Steakhouse. And then played Saturday night at Sam's Burger Joint in San Antonio. Fantastic crowd at Sam's. I mean, that place was, it was off the hook, man. We played a great show. I was very proud of us. We had a great time and a great audience. There's a lot of photos online. If you want to see those, you can go to Skyrocket, the Facebook page. Also, I want to remind you, you can like our Facebook page. How did I get here? You know, get over there, see some pictures. You can see my guest Franchise, who's on today, and I hanging out in my kitchen. Little photo of us. Dig it. Saturday morning, I got to go into the Zone Studios out in Dripping Springs and sing on my friend Jeremy Nail's album. Alejandro Escovedo is producing it. I went out there and sang on a song, which is a beautiful song. I'm looking forward to that album coming out next year. Next spring, I think, is when it comes out. It's a while. It is a while. Today, I went on Elizabeth McQueen's podcast, which is called This Song, and you talk about a song. I'm not going to tell you what song yet because I want you to listen to it. It's a good thing. I'll let you know when it comes out. It won't be out for like a month, so I actually just did that a little while ago. So yeah, that's what's going on with me. I'm hanging out, staying with my dogs. I'm going to go to the beach on Saturday for a couple of days down to Galveston, hang out with the family. I'm excited about that. Coming back into town to record episode 400 live at the Townsend. But before we do any of that, let's talk to Franchise. Yeah, man, Franchise has a new mixtape, as I told you. It's called The Anime Tape. It's out now. Great songs on there. Hennessy and Orchata and a song you're going to hear right now called Snot Nose. He's got videos for those at his website, franchise.com. And be sure you get out and see him at the Weird City Hip Hop Festival, September 18th and 19th at the Empire Control Room and Garage, all right? Let's get into it. This is Franchise's second time on the show. I love talking to this dude. He's an amazing artist. He's a great performer. I was trying to figure out where I saw him play a couple of years ago during South by Southwest, but I did see him play. He makes great videos. His records are fantastic. He's a great rapper. Please enjoy my conversation with my pal, Franchise. Let's get down.
Bye, dear aunt. I'll miss your
Roxy
wit.
King.
Eustace's ebullient charm.
and farewell courage. What's the harm if I was slightly naughty? With love, Fred.
I be smoking killer with the Vatos. Hit me with the dumb one, Arigato. Why you looking at me like a snot nose? Snot nose, snot nose. Snot nose, snot nose. I be smoking killer with the Vatos. Hit me with a dumb one, Arigato. Snot nose, snot nose. Why you looking at me like a snot nose? Snot nose, snot nose. Looking at me stupid like a snot nose. Snot nose, snot nose. Why you looking at me like a snot nose?
So you got married in March?
Got married in March.
Dude, that's awesome.
Thank you.
Where? Here?
Yeah, at Bar Mansion.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great place.
Yeah, it was cool.
What did you have for your reception?
What do you mean, what do we have? Like food?
What did you have? No, not food. Music.
Did you have a DJ? Yeah, Kid Slice.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. My wife was like, that's who's DJing the wedding. I was like, okay.
That's cool. Did a lot of people dance?
Yeah, it was awesome. It's cool because it's people that we've never seen in the same room together, you know?
Yeah.
Both our families. So it was cool, yeah.
Are you guys religious in any way?
No.
What kind of ceremony did you have? Just a friend?
Like, yeah, it's like a commitment ceremony, I guess.
Cool.
Like, we put different dirt from both of our parents' houses in like a tree pot, or like a pot with a tree, you know, like a soil thing.
Yeah.
And put a tree in there.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like a modern, yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you grow up
here?
As? No. What, like, religion?
Oh, I guess Christian.
Yeah.
Christian, like Baptist. But, you know.
Did you go to church on Sundays?
Yeah. I didn't go to church. Not every Sunday, but I went to church. I went to church a lot.
Yeah.
My best friend, who's actually one of my groomsmen, I would go to church with his family quite a bit. Right there at Park Hills. There by that IHOP.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was my church for a long time. And I went to another church on the east side, Mount Zion Baptist Church, for a while. So yeah, I just feel like it's limiting a little bit, you know. I study like all religions, mythologies. That's kind of like what I do in my spare time, humankind, history, stuff like that. And you can just see, while the basis of it is very positive,
yeah,
it's limiting for a lot of reasons. I think it's limiting because we have misinterpreted like what it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And so it's you have to incorporate other belief systems and other ideas into kind of your own reality, because there's no way that any type of ultimate being or creator being has created such a narrow pathway through one, like,
right,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, through,
of course.
Yeah. So it's all good stuff.
It's weird because it gets misconstrued in a way, and I noticed it a lot when the gay marriage thing passed.
Mm-hmm.
You all of a sudden, like on social media, really got a taste of, of who your friends are.
Wow, this is interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, it was weird. That was somebody that I'm friends with, and I guess I just never really talked too much about it. They said, God didn't write that in the Bible, and I didn't write anything on their thing, but I was like, God didn't write the Bible. Are you crazy?
And it's like, you have to pick what you believe in.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I think a lot of times people just say what they think they believe in, but then when you actually prod it, like think about that for a second. God didn't write that in the Bible. Okay. Well, we know that God didn't write the Bible.
Right.
Man wrote the Bible.
Yeah.
And so if you were to believe that, I'm not saying that you don't, you know, you shouldn't believe it or it's wrong. I'm just, you know, I'm just saying that if you do believe that, then you have to believe in, then you almost have to believe in a whole nother realm of possibility. What do I mean by that? You have to believe in like channeling and like mediums, because if you say that, okay, it's from the influence of God, there has to be a physical like exchange of energy there. Okay, so if you believe the Bible is channeled text, okay, that's fine.
Yeah,
but don't tell me that channeling and mediums don't exist, and then tell me the Bible was written by God through man.
Like,
you got to pick one or
the other. You can't have your cake and eat it.
Yeah. It's like, well, none of this exists, but the Bible is written by men through, you know.
Well, the thing is you can see historically, as a person that studies history, at some point people were fucking crazy.
Yeah.
They were all like having sex with whoever, fucking their own kids, like all this crazy shit, just killing people when they were pissed.
Yeah.
And so like people probably were like, hey, we gotta
freak
people out and be like, hey, it might not happen here,
yeah,
but when you die, you're just going to be on fire
yeah.
for the rest of eternity if like, you do like, oh, any shit. Of these 10 things.
Yeah. And that's like the thing about the we're talking about primitive human beings for the most part.
Right.
Think about like the ultimate, like there's, I mean, drowning and fire. That's like the worst, that's like the two worst ways you can go. Yeah. Or like a tree falling on you. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? That's pretty much it. Like, but yeah, you make a good point. I think inherently we're meant to coexist with each other.
Yeah.
But they had to figure out a way for people that were...
Some rules.
Yeah, that were following, you know. But yeah. I do think that there are supernatural aspects and divine aspects sure. to our creation. I do think that there was an exchange between two different forms of life in terms of what we say as our Bible or our Quran, the guidelines for our existence, because they're all the same at that basic level.
Right.
You know? But I think what happens is... As we start to evolve, slowly evolve, power, respect, money.
Right.
Those type of things. Power, really. Because if the guy, like, people are killing each other, going crazy, blah, blah, blah. If a guy sits back and says, man, if I could just tell these people that I'm a conduit from something else,
right.
you know, a king, an emperor, whatever, I could have all these people that are killing each other, they could all kill other people for me.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, control. Like Vikings and all kinds of the Germanic tribes, you saw that. Like, they were savages, and so the biggest, baddest one was like, yo, we're going to go kill those people. Let's stop killing each other, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Common enemy. Hey, this is just a weird, we just jumped right into this intense thing, and now I'm like, hey, your mixtape's great.
Yeah, thanks.
The anime tape.
Yeah.
It's fantastic,
Thank
man.
Thank you, man.
Also, I love the videos that you made. And quick question, do you drink Hennessy and horchata?
I do.
Is that good?
Yeah, it's good. It's delicious. It's funny because we were shooting the video and we had a bunch of it on the set of the video.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, guys, listen. I'm always like the party pooper. I'm like, all right, guys, listen. We got to shoot this video. Let's not drink too much of this stuff because we have to focus. Yeah. And we have to do this correctly.
Yeah.
And then by the end of the video, I was like, pour some more in there, vato. Pelo, pour some more in the cup.
Who's the guy on there with you?
Keith Corona.
Okay.
Live from 78745. He's from South Dawson. He's a good friend of mine. We're actually working on a project right now, kind of a collaborative tape between me and him.
Oh, great.
Called El Chingon.
El Chingon.
Yeah. So that's going to be a lot of fun. We already have one track already done for it. So we're going to start working on that pretty soon. He actually came by the house last week, and we were kind of game planning it.
How I know that there's some guys that you had producing songs on there, but do you do a lot of did you do a lot of it at your place, at your house?
I did a lot of the scratch stuff at my house, and then I just took all the songs that I recorded at my house and just re-recorded them at Arlen Studios.
Oh, wow.
So I had basically the album done, and then I was like, okay, let's just re-record it with better equipment. My equipment at my house is pretty good, but that space in Arlen is just that Neve, I mean, that. Yeah. It's just like, yeah, let's just run everything through this.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I re-recorded a lot of the stuff, did all the posts at Arlen. But, yeah, man, everything starts at the house.
That's
everything
awesome.
Starts at the house, yeah.
How do you start it? Do you just have, like, a loop of a beat or something, and then you start kind of feeling it?
Two ways. I'll have, like, a beat, and I'll really like the beat, and I'll craft the song to the beat, you know? Or I'll have a song in mind. I'll like record something on my phone, like a hook or something in mind. And then I'll just, if I hear something that matches that, or the key is the same or the vibe is the same, I'll be like, oh, let's just try that. And then I'll just kind of take this raw thing that I wrote just out of nowhere and just mold it to the beat, just kind of mold it. And then I just go from there, just so it depends. Yeah. I can do either or. I'll have songs that I'll have fully written that I just wrote a cappella and just mold them to a beat. Or I'll have a beat and listen to it a couple times and get a song idea from there, and then just write it like that.
The hook of Hennessy and Horchata sounds like something that you were singing while you were like on your way to get the horchata and the Hennessy. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
the hook of that song sounds like you're excited to go get some or something.
We were at my house, and I was just like, man. And I had some horchata, and I was just like, dude.
Hey, you spiked this up.
How do we need a hook? But it's gotta be simple. And I was like, I had that horchata, and I was like, an horchata. I was like, okay. I got it. Hennessy. And then I was like, we tried to record it that night, but we were like, oh, let's wait. And then we recorded it maybe like a week later, and then we re-recorded it at White Arlen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great album. And also, I want to talk to you about the song Snot Nose. Great video.
Thank
Who's
you.
Who's the guy that did that?
Raul Butriago.
That's great.
Yeah,
man.
He's from Houston, but he lives in New York now. Lives in Brooklyn. So I'll be rendering his services again pretty soon. I think.
Yeah, lyrically, you really hit the nail on the head with a thing that I don't think people talk about when they have a cocaine song, is that horrible remorse feeling you have the next day.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you hit it, and that video just makes you like, that's a good say no to coke video.
Yeah.
You want to be like this?
Yeah. And it's not so much, hey man, you know, live your life, you know, but exactly. At the same time, you got to keep perspective. I think that's the most important thing. You have to keep perspective, and you have to understand that everything you do, there's consequences. You know, everything that you put in, you're going to get back out. So, you know, I would say to people that are doing that stuff, you know, that are having a good time, you know, live your life, just make sure you keep a balance and you keep proper perspective, you know.
Yeah, one thing it's known for is not having proper
perspective. No. I think that's the point of it, actually. Yeah. It's to skew your perspective.
Yeah. What sparked a song like that? Like having to be around people?
I mean, you know, I'm from Austin, man. You know, I'm from Austin. I've been performing since I was 17.
Yeah.
You know, all around the country. So, you know, you just live a full life and you just see stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You just see stuff. And so you just write about it. Yeah, and I try not to glorify or condemn anything.
Right.
I try to really, that's a really one thing that I try to do in my songs. I try not to glorify anything or condemn anything. You know what I mean? I just try to talk about stuff that I see and stuff that's relevant to me. So yeah, that's kind of what the point was in that song. It's like, yeah, okay, like I'm just gonna tell a story, and it's not gonna be either positive or negative. It's just gonna be what it is,
right?
You know,
and it's not. It kind of starts out for fun, and then just kind of turns into, because that's what that. It's weird. That's what that does.
Yeah, it's got a kind of a Mark Twain type of thing I'm doing there. You know, like where he's writing, and I think it was in Huck Finn. Maybe it was Tom Sawyer. I can't remember one of those books. They're in church, right? And he's talking about church. And he writes these super long, boring paragraphs, you know?
Yeah.
And you're like, what the fuck is he doing? And it's like, oh, it's because church is boring.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that kind of thing. Like
that's
that.
So great.
Yeah. Like that. So that's kind of what I was trying to do. Just kind of like take you through that. Take you from here to here to kind of mirror.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Did you go to UT?
No.
No?
No.
Did you go to school?
No.
I mean,
School of Hard Knocks,
for
baby.
A year. Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I went to recording school for 1 year.
Okay.
And then I realized, like, once you got out, your main thing was to get an internship and work for free somewhere.
Yeah.
And I was just like, that is not, that's not what I want to do.
Mm-mm. No. Mm-mm.
I tried to get one, like, coming out of there, but it didn't work. Did you study any recording, or you just figured it out?
Just figured it out. I mean, we'd always done it. You know, like, it's something that I've always been around.
Right.
Since I was in high school, so you just learn.
I feel like I learned more, like, the first year that I had a four-track than I did in school.
Yeah.
For sure.
Really, the only thing I had to learn was the navigation of the software on my own. Like, in terms of manipulating the effects and what stuff means, you know, you can find all the... I knew a lot of it, and you could also find all the information online, really. Yeah. You know, so, no, I never went to school for recording. I never went to school for any type of audio, anything. I just was doing it. I was just doing it, so I didn't really need to go learn about it.
Right.
I was in there putting in them hours, like really doing it. You know.
Yeah.
I didn't have time. I don't have time to go take any classes on it. You know.
Have you been on tour this year?
This year, no. I've not been on tour this year. Doing Weird City. Just did Mellow Fest.
Right.
Oh
yeah, Weird City, September 18th and 19th at the Empire Control Room and Garage.
Whip.
Yeah.
So excited. We did it last year. It was awesome. I think this year is going to be even bigger. I'm going to try to, I'm going to spice up the set a little bit. I got some ideas for how we're going to do it this year. So stay tuned. I think it's going to be really cool. Then we'll probably try to hit some touring in the winter. Try to get out there then. We're trying to set some stuff up now for the winter. We'll see how it goes. I want to try to drop another project probably in the fall. I'm working on one right now, that El Chingon.
Okay.
And I'm working on another project called Special Fabrics, which I have maybe two or three tracks recorded for. So whichever one gets done first,
right,
I'll probably release that one and then release the other one whenever.
Heck, let me ask you a question. This is a weird question. I know you're a Kanye fan. You do the Kanye West mixtapes.
Yes,
and we talked about it last time.
Yes.
And I feel like it's getting harder and harder. Did you see the Bohemian Rhapsody thing?
No.
Oh, you didn't?
Mm-mm. I don't.
Whoa. You don't want to.
I'm just blah. No, I don't. I see things late. I see everything late.
Okay.
I see everything late.
Well, did you hear about it?
No.
Oh,
People were like mentioning it.
Yeah. He did it at a festival.
He did Bohemian Rhapsody?
Yeah.
Nice.
It wasn't.
No, wasn't that cool?
It's just confusing because I had one guy tell me like, well, you know, he probably just was like getting into it and was like, hey man, check out this song. It's real cool. It doesn't matter if he can actually sing it or not.
Was he singing it?
Yeah.
Like all the parts?
No. Galileo. No. I didn't even get that far. I just got the mama just killed a man. The other part was recorded. Okay. Is this a real life? That whole thing.
Yeah. You know what's probably funny about it? He's probably just been listening to that song a bunch.
That's what I'm thinking now.
Just like, guys, this is cool. I'm going to sing this. I don't care.
I guess also everyone's just perched and ready to pounce on that guy too. You know what I mean?
I've never understood what the big issue is with him.
Well, there was one thing that I did. I was like a little like, come on, man.
What did he do?
A guy walked out on stage at the beginning of Black Skinhead like a comedian and just kind of started doing this to him. And he had him kicked off and had to start the song over because it frazzled him, which I understand that. Yeah. But like from Kanye, I think like if someone comes out on stage and fucks with you, you got to be able to roll with it a little. I mean,
Action Bronson just like knocks dudes out when they run on stage. He like suplexes them. Like,
right, but he does it.
Yeah.
And he takes away people's awards.
Yeah, that's true.
Which I don't mind. I mean, but I Beyonce, think all that shit is
but
hilarious.
That Beyonce album was fire, bruh. It was.
Yeah, it was great.
And this is the thing, man. That Beck album, I haven't heard one song on it.
I'm not a Beck fan.
If you're a Beck fan out there, God bless you.
Are you really not?
I like the songs I've heard from Beck. I'm neutral on Beck.
Okay.
You know, I respect what he's done. There are people that really, really like him, so I can appreciate that.
Sure.
But I think that in both instances, maybe he didn't go about it the right way, but I think Kanye was right. Like, that Beyonce video was better than the Taylor. That was Single Ladies, bruh.
Yeah. That's one of the most iconic videos.
Like, come on. Yeah. And then that Beyonce album was so good, dude, that year. Drunk in Love. All those songs were awesome. I just don't understand sometimes like where they're getting these awards. Like, who's giving out these awards?
It's inner voting.
Yeah. Like Beck? Come on.
I mean, the music business industry loves that guy.
I know.
All those voting people.
And you know the music industry.
Because he's pretty creative.
He is.
I mean, you gotta at least give him
definitely.
That.
Definitely. But you know the music industry, dude. They're just all
it's stupid.
It's stupid. And so it's like, why should Kanye respect, like, what are we talking about? We're talking about MTV awards.
Yeah, it's all kind of silly.
In a Grammy for a guy that has like 30. How many Grammys does Beck have?
I don't know. He does have a lot. Yeah.
So it's
and
like,
you know what? I mean, at one point, I loved him. And I just didn't even bother to even listen to this new album.
No, I didn't even know he had a new album. Kanye?
No,
Beck. Oh, yeah. Okay, no. Okay, good. I was like, oh my gosh.
No, Kanye's always like, whenever something comes out, it's very exciting.
Yeah, Beck. It's just like, it's one of those things. Like, Beck's a great artist, but I didn't understand when my wife told me like what happened. She's like, oh yeah, Beck got this award, and Kanye like, you know, got up there and was pissed. And I was like, well, what award did he get? She was like, album of the year. I was like, well, for what album? She's like, I don't know. I was like, yeah, that's pretty whack.
That
like,
album with Loser.
Right. Like, that's pretty whack. And like, if everybody agrees the music industry is fake, it's the same thing we were talking about with the religion thing.
Sure.
If everybody agrees their music industry is fake and Kanye's calling out stuff within a fake reality, within a fake realm.
Right.
Why should we like take umbrage with that? Like, Taylor Swift, that was not the cool thing to do. Like, okay, he probably shouldn't have interrupted her speech, but she's won so many awards. Go ahead.
No, not to interrupt you. We would never be talking about the award that she won that day if that wouldn't have happened. So on a publicity level,
yes,
it's one of the best things that ever happened to her.
Yeah, and she's a great artist. Like,
yeah,
she's
sure.
good.
Yeah.
She's good at what she does. Again, I'm neutral on Taylor Swift.
I don't have any comment.
All these people are so anti, I hate this artist. It's like, why? For what reason? Who cares? Like, people, I hate Lil Wayne. You know, I hate Kings of Leon. It's like, dude.
You know what I like is in your slogan, you beat them to it. Franchise hates you. So you don't even think about it.
Yeah.
You
exactly. It was almost out of that kind of thing where it was like,
I think that's actually genius.
I hate this. I hate that. Yeah, yeah. It's like, you know what? I hate that. I hate you. You know, I hate, but it's funny because that's kind of become, over the years, that's kind of become our de facto slogan. And I'm not really like a very, my music's not terribly aggressive, like, you know, it's just it's again very neutral, but I think it's interesting, like,
but I think you have a point of view, I mean, it's very strong, and it comes through. I wouldn't say it's neutral to, for someone that has never listened to you, you do have something to say,
definitely, yeah,
and you do have a point of view,
that's true. So yeah, kind of.
But you're not out destroying everyone.
No, I'm not super aggro, but I'm just like, I'm, you know, that's just kind of become our, my slogan, that franchise hates you type of deal.
I think it's funny.
I think it's cool. I think it can mean, I think it means a lot of different things. I think it can be funny. I think it's when I'm talking about like serious stuff, you know, when I'm talking about certain actions as human beings that we, you know, that we do, that we execute, that may be hurting us as a whole. You know, it can be something where I'm talking about haters. You know what I mean? Like we were talking about, like, you know, haters on me. Well, I hate you. Like, it can be used in a lot of different ways. Obviously, the battle thing works awesome for that.
Sure.
But
that's a context. That's like saying, watching a roast and saying like all the people there are really mean.
Right.
There's
right.
a context for that. You're supposed to do that there, and in a battle, you're supposed to put the guy down.
Definitely take his
put him
soul.
In his place at least.
Put him in his place.
Yeah. Do you still battle?
No, I don't.
I guess you get to a point where you just like, what?
I don't know.
When you're a kid, I bet you have that fire and you want to.
I mean, I did an interview the other day and I said the same thing. If they called me right now and said, hey, there's a tournament going on. There's X amount of dollars at stake. It's, you know, 6 months away. This is who's going to be in it. Do you want to do it? I'd be like, yeah. You know, because I still have the hunger and fire to compete. I think the issue that I have now is it's just not conducive to me achieving what I want to achieve right now. I think that while it's great to get a lot of YouTube views and publicity for the music that you release,
right.
I think at the same time, it's very limiting, and it's a very enclosed world, even though there's a lot of people that are watching it now, but that's starting to die down a little bit. And a lot of people with big names that are involved to some degree, it's very enclosed and it's very tight knit. And it's very hard, even for a person like me who, you know, spent the better part of my teenage and early 20s. That's all I did. Yeah. It's very hard to get in that group.
Yeah.
You know, and you have to, I felt like I did a lot in a short amount of time to put myself in a position to where I could demand a certain amount of money, you know, not demand, but ask for a certain amount of money,
sure.
or be able to negotiate certain terms. And I just wasn't getting that, you know, and I just was like, you know, I'm not going to spend any more of my own money.
Right.
Because at some point, I was trying to do international battles. Like, I did all the national stuff, and they wanted to go international. And I was like, that's what I want to do. I want to go to Australia. I want to go to the UK. I want to go to Canada. However, I'm not going to just go broke, you know,
right.
doing it when I know they're getting spot. I'm not stupid. Like, I'm from a city where all we do is throw events.
Right.
You know, so I know what it takes to throw an event. I know you need outside money.
Yeah.
I know you have a budget.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of it was just like, you know, I'm not gonna sit around and piffer and paffer. I don't know what that means, but
that was great. That's the first time I ever heard it.
I'm not gonna sit around and piffer and paffer, you know, about a $200 or $300 plane ticket or how much a plane ticket costs or this or that or this or that.
Yeah.
I'm just not gonna do it. You know, I don't have time. And so that was kind of when I was like, you know, I'm not gonna do this anymore. I can still do it. I know I can still do it. I can still do it at a high level. I still, you know, have a good amount of respect in that community. I just don't feel like arguing about it on the front end, you know?
Sure.
Just like, we can figure something out, just pay me X amount of dollars and I just come do it. And then whatever, you will film it and whatever, but this idea where like, people are trying to get over on me, I don't really like it.
Right. It's almost like a boxing match where the promoter makes all the money, but the boxers, the guys that are actually slugging it out, don't.
But the boxers that they like, they're paying them.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. That's the other thing that I saw is like, okay, there are people that are getting paid and there are people that are not getting paid.
Right.
And so I'm not going to sit here and, you know, shuck and jive to try to be part of this, like, it's not like a little high school like clique where the, oh, I'm in a group that gets paid now. Like, dude, no.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, Texas is far away from everything.
You shuck and jive? That's like an old school.
Yeah, dude. That's old school. That's what I felt like. Oh, I got to come out here and be out here all the time with y'all fools. I got to like live out here. Come on, bro. Yeah. I'm from Austin. I'm not going nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? I'm not going to move out here. I'm not moving to the Bay.
Yeah.
I'm not moving to New York just to be around y'all fools so y'all can finally start paying me for battles. You know, I'm not, what is that? They're just dumb. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's just stupid.
How is the rap scene here?
It's good, man. It's growing. It's probably the best it's ever been from a talent perspective. It's probably the best it's ever been from a recognition perspective. And so we're just continuing to grow. We're still, you know, we still need that one breakout artist. But I think outside of that, we are very, it's a very similar position to where Houston was in the early 2000s. Yeah. Very similar position.
You know, I, you know, what you said, what you just said rang a bell with me. The ones that I know, you, Riders Against the Storm, Zeely, all of you guys I could see in a national platform.
Kid, League of Extraordinary G's, Corey Kendricks, he moved to Denver, but even guys like Corey Kendricks, Minds of a Different Kind.
I've had a hard time getting Kid in here.
He's slippery. He's elusive, but he's doing his thing. That's why.
Yeah,
he's doing
his thing. Yeah, I don't fault him. I just want more hip hop guys. I want more rappers on the show.
Yeah, yeah. He's doing his thing, man. You gotta mad respect the kid, man. He's doing his thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's the best it's ever been. I think that there's guys that really kind of again showed us how to do it on a regional level, and we kind of took their model and just trying to accelerate it. I think that's what you do.
Yeah.
You know, people get to this point and then they come from behind them and they get to a further point.
Yeah.
And then we came behind them and now we're getting to a further point. And then whoever comes behind us will get to a further point, or, you know, we can get to some sort of national recognition for the scene. I think it's inevitable, to be honest with you.
You toured with Rakim, right?
I didn't tour with him. I played with him. Excuse me. I played with him in here, Houston. I think in New York as well. I think we both played at Slick Rick's birthday in Brooklyn.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Slick Rick?
I mean, I met him.
He had you play his birthday?
I played his birthday, yeah, in Brooklyn. Brooklyn Bowl.
That's really cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was there a lot of other, like, hip-hop legends there?
That would
fucking blow my mind, dude.
We didn't, I don't remember meeting any legends. You know what I mean? He was just there chilling. It was interesting because it wasn't really deep with legends. It wasn't like you would think they'd be like, everybody came out. Like, nah, it was just him, like his crew. Like, I tell a couple of his, like, his family members, you know?
Yeah.
And then it was pretty much just fans and people. We were just all chilling. It was cool. But it wasn't like, yo, here's, you know, I mean, Rakim played, but it wasn't like, I think... no, that was, never mind, we were joking, never mind. That was a joke. But Rakim played, so it was Rakim and his people, but it wasn't like, you know.
It's like Run DMC was there.
Nothing like that.
Which one's the most obvious?
But you never, I'm kind of aloof, man, so my TM, you may want to ask him, he may have seen like somebody, but I'm just kind of like, whatever. I just be chilling, dude. I don't really get too hype around, you know.
Whatever. No, you seem like a relaxed dude.
I just be chilling, dude.
Yeah.
That's how you get the autographs, though. I got Jon Favreau's autograph.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, I did. Because Gary was on the set of Chef, because they filmed it right there.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And we were talking about Iron Man, talking about comic books. And at the very end, like, they're breaking down the scene, like, they're breaking down the set. He's, like, trying to figure out what it's doing. It's like, dude, come on, man. And he's like, yeah, no problem.
Yeah.
That's cool, yeah.
Wow.
So you gotta be chill, bro.
Give me chills. I love that dude.
Yeah, he's cool, man. I was like, oh my gosh. I framed it. It's in my house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? How's Gary doing?
Gary's doing good.
Yeah?
Gary's doing good, man.
You guys have this similar bodies.
We have similar a lot of things.
Yeah.
We're very similar. Me and that guy, we have similar everything pretty much, dude. Backstory, similar interests.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you friends with Eve?
Not as good as friends with Eve as I am with Gary, but I am friends with Eve. Right. Yeah, definitely.
I just played with her the other night. That's what's love.
We all played Austin Music Awards.
Yeah.
Me, Shaky, her.
Oh, yeah, because you were Austin High guy. You know, yeah. I went to Austin High.
That's right. Loyal didn't forever, me. Babe.
Yeah.
Didn't ask you?
No.
Why not, dog?
I don't know. I was even in the class the same like as Elias Haslinger.
For real? Played.
Yeah.
I thought about getting like an Austin High tattoo. I don't know. Like just the A and like Loyal Forever. But it's for Austin, obviously, but... I kind of feel like I want to do something like that.
Like you really represent Austin. I think that's great.
It's all I've ever known, bro. I mean, I've been a lot of places. Yeah. Not like I've never been. But
this is your home.
Yeah, and it's just like I don't want to be one of those guys that's like, well, I'm from here, but I you know, I represent here. Like, I never want to be one of those slash guys.
Right.
Like, you know, I'm like, obviously, there's places you go to further your career, but I always want this to be my home base for better or for worse. And if that hinders me to some degree, well, then that's just how the way that it's going to be.
I think also now we live in a world where... I mean, obviously, if you're going to go out at night, if you're like in L.A. or if you're in New York, you're going to run into and sort of like mingle and cross paths with higher up people. But I think
but
that
they
if you
don't
can
give
get in,
a fuck.
Right, if you can get in the door,
yeah,
you can work from here mm-hmm. in this modern time without any kind of
yeah.
No one would even know you were gone.
You don't have to go nowhere, man. Like, if you're really popping, you don't have to go. You know, but. That's something different, but the idea that if you, I mean, if you're an actor, that's different. You know what I mean? Like, if you're an actor, you need to take your ass out there.
Yeah.
You know, but at the same time, in terms of doing music, yeah, you can go out there and you can go have those conversations, but they want to know that you got where you're from locked down.
Right.
So it's a whole thing now where you got to have your region locked down, which I feel like, you know, all the top tier artists out of this city, we could go anywhere in this region and go, you know, and kill it. So it's like, yeah, they're out there to have those conversations that you can meet them, but at the same time, if you don't represent a culture, you know what I mean, I think, then it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, you have to represent something, especially in this market where there's so many rappers.
Yeah.
When I say this market, I mean like this point in time. You have to represent something.
Yeah.
And they want to see that that's authentic, you know, and I think that if I'm nothing else, I'm authentic.
Yeah, you are.
You know what I mean? So...
Guy with the point of view.
That's right.
Franchise.
Austin, Texas. Everybody's got one. But that's the thing. I feel like my attitude's par for the course for this city. Like, I feel like everybody yeah. here is opinionated. Everybody here would be like, no, I'm not doing that. You know, I feel like everybody here says what's on their mind and, like, says what they feel. You know, everybody.
No, no. There's, you know, I mean? Do you know who Marc Maron is?
Yeah.
He calls this town the hipster Alamo. It's just people hanging on to their integrity.
Yeah, bro.
For one last fucking...
That's like, right, dude.
All the Starbucks
That's
and
right.
bullshit coming
That's
at
right,
you.
Man. Fuck it, man. I just bought a house down here right here in 04. Me and my wife bought a house. I shouldn't say I'm, like, balling out of control. We bought a house. And they're building all around us. But it's just like, you know what? We're from Austin.
Yeah,
and we're gonna be here until the last, until they force us out. You have to physically force me to live somewhere else.
Yeah,
and that's when I'm leaving.
It's tough. I don't know if I could afford, like, in the last 5 years since I moved here. This, I mean, I just signed an 18-month lease, and yeah. I get kind of like, really?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're still gonna be around. I keep on thinking I'm gonna get home. There's gonna be a notice like, yeah. we're tearing you down. We're going with condos that you can no longer afford.
Oh,
you
it's
have
coming.
To live in Buda.
It's coming, bro.
I don't want to live in Buda.
I don't want to live in Buda either.
I want to live in Austin.
I don't want to live anywhere outside Travis County.
No.
Like, I'm not trying to do that. Because you got to know that they're licking their chops when we're pushing all these people out of this county. And
yeah.
the other counties are like, oh, we're going to put so many people in jail. It's going to be great. So, hopefully, you know, I can just continue to do what I do, make a little bit of bread, and just kind of stay where I'm at, you know?
Well, I mean, do you go like regionally?
Yeah,
like you go
we'll
to Dallas and Austin.
Yeah,
I mean, and Houston.
We'll do
shit?
Houston. We'll do Dallas. We'll do San Antonio. We'll do here, and then we'll kind of concentrate on the Southwest and like the Mountain States. So we'll do Arizona. We'll do New Mexico.
Oh, really?
California. Yeah, we'll do Colorado. Like we went on the Snoop tour. We basically drove from here to Sacramento, and then just drove back. So
touring the whole way.
Yeah. And so my, a lot of my focus has been regionally, obviously, and then West Coast. I think that's, I could play anywhere, but I feel like of the shows I've done, West Coast venues, audiences are more, a little bit more receptive, a little bit more. East Coast has definitely shown us love, but Midwest, we played in Chicago. That was awesome. We played in Miami. We played a bunch of places.
In Miami?
Yeah.
How was that?
It was dope. We battled. It was battle on Labor Day. And that was cool. At some Polish club. It was awesome.
Miami, does it still have a scene? Or do just famous people go there?
I would say that it has a scene. When
like
I was, I mean,
scene?
I was there on Labor Day. Yeah. So maybe my perspective is a little skewed.
Right.
It was popping, bruh. We were out there running amok. Like, it was awesome. It was pretty tight. I had a really, really good time. It degenerated pretty quick. We were in a hotel that was like right by the hospital. I don't know what if they knew what they had gotten themselves into. It deteriorated to the point where dudes were just like walking around smoking in the hallway. In fact, a good friend of mine who just passed away, PH, like walked into my hotel room just like smoking.
Yeah.
I was like, did you walk down the hallway smoking that? He's like, yes, I did. I was like, well.
Have you ever stayed at the Derrick in Houston?
Nah.
That's, I swear to God, that's what's going on there all the time.
This is a nice hotel, too. This is like a nice hotel, and we just took it over, and they didn't call the cops. That was the craziest thing to me. They didn't call the cops. Nobody said anything to us, and they didn't call the cops. I was just thinking, I guess in Miami, there's just too much real shit going down.
Yeah.
They're not worried about us smoking in the...
Yeah, I don't think...
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't know. It was crazy.
Yeah, have you been to Colorado since it's been legalized?
No, I haven't. I've been three times before it was legal. Yeah,
I think it should be legal everywhere.
It will be. Yeah,
I don't think that we're going to be one of the first ones to go.
I don't know, man. I think Texas may surprise some people. I don't think we'll be one of the last. I think we'll be in the middle somewhere because
this new guy is kind of creepy.
He is a little creepy, but I think the one thing with Texan politicians is they at least listen to the people still. Like, if the people want it, it will happen.
Yeah.
Like, in this state, I think you can say that. If the people want something, it's going to happen.
It's so funny because this state doesn't have – I mean, it goes red.
Yeah.
But it's so different from city to city, this state, you know?
And a lot of those people that are voting Republican, they're not necessarily, like, neocons. They're people that understand that voting for – Hillary Clinton is not going to, like, do anything.
Right,
so they're forced, because of the way that the system works, they're forced to vote Republican.
Right.
Because they've seen...
They're more libertarian, probably.
More like, don't tell me what to do, stay off my land. But because they've broken it down to such a simplistic, you know, which I think, again, what we're talking about at the top of the interview, narrow way of thinking.
Right.
You force people to be either conservative or liberal, when I feel like most people are in the middle somewhere.
Yes.
And if we had candidates that kind of didn't push the fact that they were conservative or liberal and push the ideals, I think it would be different. But it's not about, it's about the culture war. You know what I mean? It's about having us fighting each other so we're not, like, looking at what they're doing.
Right.
You know?
It's funny. I was talking to my aunt about this morning. She was like freaking out because Donald Trump is ahead in these polls. And I was like, well, it's a year and like 4 months before anything actually even matters. But then the only people that they're polling are like, they're not polling regular American people. They're polling fringe people. Those are the only people that are getting involved now with this kind of thing.
The fact that this guy's even taken seriously as a presidential candidate. I think we really need to start looking at the system. And before people talk about vote, we have to figure out a way to make sure that when we get to the voting stage, it's people that we all want. Instead of this weird, like, yeah, this one state is going to vote on these people, and then that's your candidate. Like, well, wait a minute. That doesn't make any sense. Or this committee is going to pick your candidate.
Right, yeah.
Like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, I don't want committees picking the candidate. Like, why can't we vote on who the candidates are?
Yeah.
Like, what's the big deal? Like, what's the problem with that? Like, I just don't understand. Like, they just hand us these candidates, and the people have an attitude when you're like, well, I don't want to vote for either one of these people. And they're like, well, you know, you have to vote if you want to have an opinion. Yeah. You got to vote. It's like, no, dude. Like, no. Like, let's hold these people to an actual standard.
Right.
So that every time we vote for somebody, we're not complaining in 2 years that they suck.
Yeah.
You know?
There is a standard. They have the money to get in.
Exactly. And that's the thing now. You can just buy it.
Yeah.
Be like, okay, we're going to donate
$20 million. There's no reason Donald Trump is really.
No. He knows he can get some paper, lose, and then just keep the money.
If he stopped paying for stuff and they pulled, you'd see, oh, no one really cares about this.
Didn't he hire actors for his little announcement?
Yeah, he did.
He's just sad, bro.
I think he got busted. I think everybody does it. I think everybody does that shit. Don't you?
Actors?
They ship in people.
I don't think so.
No?
Nah. No.
I mean, I don't know.
I'm telling you, dude. People are passionate about that shit, bro. If you say this Republican person is coming to talk, people are gonna come.
Yeah.
If it's like a person that's prominent and you market it right and put it in the right district or demographic or whatever terminology you want to use, people will come.
Can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not at all meant to be argumentative in any way, but where do you stand on guns? Because there's a photo of you on your website with
the shotgun.
Yeah, with the shotgun.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's not you know. Yeah. We're not like, hey, no. Look out for franchise. He's coming at you with a gun.
No, it's like this, man. I think that responsible gun ownership is a cornerstone of what it means to be an American. Now, that being said, I think that you have to understand that some of these people that are rolling around with these guns, man, they're not right in the head. And I think that the one thing we have to look at is the laws in certain states and how lax that they some of these laws are. You know, gun show stuff where you can just go buy a gun at a gun show and be like, hey, here's what however many bucks, like here's a gun. Like it's not hard to get a gun in this country. And I think that's the problem. I don't think it's necessarily that we need less guns or we need some sort of sweeping legislation. I think that state to state, they have to understand that, you know, everybody doesn't deserve a weapon. Point blank, period. Everybody does not deserve a weapon. Everybody has the right in a, like a existential way, you know, everybody has the right to own a weapon. Yes, of course, but everybody doesn't deserve one. And I think that's the kind of thing we have to start looking at. You know, there's people that are rolling around with multiple weapons, high-powered weapons that they don't need to have and they don't deserve to have, you know, that they have no intention of using for its intended purpose.
Like machine guns.
Like machine guns, right, you know. Machine guns are awesome. I love machine guns.
Sure, who doesn't?
Yeah, I love to shoot machine guns. That's awesome. But why does a civilian need a machine gun for real? You don't need one. You know, and I have friends that are just like, no, dude, we should be able to have whatever guns we want to. I'm like, all right, but for what, dude? For what? You know, like for what?
Yeah.
Somebody comes in your house, dude, you shoot them with a 40 caliber in their kneecap or you shoot them with a 40 caliber in their shoulder or their chest. They're going down, dude. Or you shoot them in their thigh. They're not going to, if you shoot them anywhere in a vital area with a handgun, they're not going to live.
Yeah.
So why are you going to try to spray? Like, what's the point? I'm trying to spray, like.
Yeah.
So I think we got to just be more responsible as people. And I think there's a natural evolution towards that. I don't think you can legislate that. I think people are starting to understand that, okay, maybe everybody doesn't need to have semi-automatic or fully automatic weapons. So that's kind of where I stand on it. I definitely think that, you know, I'm definitely pro-responsible gun ownership, but I think at the same time, the states need to take the responsibility and toughen some of their laws and toughen some of their gun show laws.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what's cool is talking to you now, you saying that you're neutral makes a lot of sense. You're not in a fanatical Mm-mm. state about anything.
Mm-mm.
Like, you believe in the Second Amendment.
Yeah, I do.
But
it's common
having
sense.
Said that, yeah, yeah. Let's not give criminals machine guns.
Yeah, let's not let dudes just walk into a store and go buy a gun and then walk out and they're shooting a bunch of people on the college campus the next week or whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
That's terrible.
That is terrible, man. And then the dude in South Carolina, that's terrible too. And it's just like, you know, that I don't even think he bought that gun. I think he was given that gun, you know? Just like, man, and that's the risk you run when there's guns in your family. If you have to make right. sure that that's your responsibility at that point to make sure that you're raising people correctly in your family.
Right.
If you have weapons available. So again, I don't necessarily think it's the gun's fault, you know, but at the same time, you know, they have to make sure that, okay, we have firearms in this family. We have to raise responsible, respectful people.
Yeah.
First,
I was raised like that. My grandpa taught me how to clean guns and stuff, and
it's not a toy.
And was basically like, "Hey, don't you know where all this shit is? Like, don't fuck with it.
Yeah,
when I'm not here.
Yeah,
but if you ever want to do anything with it, you just come ask me, and you can do whatever you want.
But not when I'm not. And that's and you
I
did
never
it.
Did. Yeah, yeah never I would did. Have yeah. friends there, and I remember, you know, thinking like, oh, I could show them a 45, like, but then I was like, you know.
But you were, see, he put the appropriate amount of fear in you.
Yeah. He put a lot of fear in me. He was a great man. That's actually, he passed away last year. That's a statue from his office. He liked John Wayne. Dudes with guns.
I bet, I can see that.
He liked John Wayne, Charles Bronson, yeah. Clint Eastwood, like the main dudes with guns.
Good, Bad, and the Ugly was on this morning, man.
Oh, yeah, that's a fucking awesome movie.
Yeah, it was. I saw the very end, like the part. Yeah, it was cool.
All right, so we asked earlier this week, to some people to ask a couple of questions, and I got a couple to the Facebook page.
Okay,
that this is from ITX Takeover.
ITX Takeover.
With Austin constantly changing and the rap scene growing, how do you rep Austin every day, franchise? What's your thing every day?
Is every day.
You say? Every day?
Every day. Okay. We do it every day. Right. We just do it, man. We're just from here. We just do it. You know, there's no, we don't have a process for that. You know, I just am who I am. You know, I'm Austin, and I just eat it. I breathe it. I sleep it. And just, you know, I think it's a city about being an individual, being true to yourself. And that's, you know, that's what I try to do.
I think that's good.
Yeah.
I got another one from Brandon Herrera.
Okay.
Being a fan of the Austin music scene, mm-hmm. underground to mainstream, mm-hmm. how do you feel you connect with your fans?
Well, I mean, I feel like...
I
have a couple questions, too. Sorry. I'm
just okay, good, good, good.
I feel like I connect with them because I'm not... I don't put myself on a pedestal. I feel like a lot of rappers... A lot of them, not all, but some, their whole thing is, I'm awesome and you're not.
Right, right, right.
And you like, you should like want to be like me because I'm so awesome, you know? And you could never be as awesome as me.
Right.
If you, in your wildest dreams, you could never be as awesome as me. But listen to my music and fantasize
right.
that one day
right.
that you will be as awesome as I am.
Yeah.
And my thing is, yeah, I'm awesome.
Yeah,
totally awesome. But you're awesome too.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Why can't we all be awesome?
Why can't we all be awesome? Yeah. And so let's jump around and be awesome, and let's jam this fucking music that's loud and bangs in the speakers. And you should feel good about yourself.
Yeah,
you know, you should feel good about yourself for being who you are. You should feel good about yourself, you know, for working where you work. You should feel good about yourself for being where you're from. So that's kind of my thing. Like that's how I connect with them because I am them. You know, they are me. Like there's no. I don't feel like there's a separation between me and them.
Right.
And I think you can see that with my interactions with them, whether online or in person or whatever, at the show or whatever. There's no wall I put up of, oh, I'm so exclusive.
Right,
like,
right.
Oh, my gosh, I'm so awesome, you know? I'm like, nah, man, like, we're all in it together.
Just a guy, yeah.
Yeah, just a guy. Just a guy. An awesome guy. Just
an awesome guy.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that you're the other person's not awesome.
Yeah, no, they're probably
your
awesome.
Your awesomeness is not just... exclusive to you.
No, it's not. Okay. Everything is awesome.
So wait, so this guy's got some more to say. Okay. I've followed you from the Texas Battle Leagues mm-hmm. to some/most of your produced videos on YouTube. Mm-hmm. I've actually reached out to you on your Facebook page, but received no response. I think having a strong connection with your community you rep every day is important. Just curious how you, as an artist, keep in touch with your local fan base.
My bad, I haven't hit you. I'll hit you back.
That happens.
It happens.
Yeah. I mean, it does. I mean,
it happens.
I can explain just as your lawyer. look, you get emails, and while the fans are the people that keep you going, you get other emails, and it might have come in a day where you were dealing with some other stuff, and then sometimes you see that email just go down, and yep. then you don't go all the way down there again to look at it.
Yep.
That happens to me all the time.
I answer in my head a lot.
Yeah.
That's what happens to me. I'll see it and I'll be like, oh, yeah, I'll answer it in my head and I won't actually.
Brandon, franchise is going to get back to you.
I'll get back to you.
It's going to take some time.
And it'll take a little bit of time, but I'll make it worth it.
Yeah.
All right. So I have a couple questions via Instagram.
Oh, cool.
If you want to look at those.
Right, yeah.
They're at the bottom of the.
Shit. Where are my glasses?
Uh-oh.
I know, dude. That's the other thing that happens when you get old. You can't read anything without these fucking. Okay, what's your favorite food to eat before battling?
MCs. No, I don't. I don't eat anything before battle. I drink a lot of water. I drink a lot of vitamin water. If I do eat anything, I may eat like some rice and fish, but I usually would just drink water or Gatorade.
It's hard. It's hard to do the whole because I'm. I mean,
you will throw up. I will throw up.
Yeah,
yeah, I'll throw up for sure.
Who was the this is from Matt Franco 36. Who was the MC that made you love hip hop? For me, it was Busta Rhymes.
I love Busta Rhymes. The MC that made me love hip-hop was probably Andre 3000, Outkast, collectively with Big Boy. That's the group that made me, like, really love rap music and, like, understand at a very young age, like, understand, I think, at a very deep level, like, what rap music truly is. Because they were a departure from, they still continue to be a departure from, for lack of a better term, stereotypical black rappers, you know, or Southern black rap. It's a departure from that, both sonically and lyrically. Like, it's definitely a departure from that. And that's the first time I realized, like, oh, wait a minute. Oh, man. oh, wow, hip-hop is, like, all-encompassing. It's not, like, a certain group of people from a certain area that are doing it.
Right.
Like, you can do it whatever way you want to. And they just, and they continued to do that. And they got more bold as their careers, you know, went on. They got more popular. And that really was the, that really opened, they really defined my style, I think, even now.
Really?
That realization that you could push it like that.
Yeah.
Has defined my style. It's one of the cornerstones of my style and my, the basis for my whole musical thought process, is my whole writing process, is that Outkast, be yourself, individuality cornerstone. Yeah. It all starts with that, you know?
Yeah, because if they were playing by the rules, their biggest song, like, Hey Yeah.
Yeah, would have never came out.
Would have never come
never
out.
Came out.
Would have never made it.
Never made it. And that's what Andre 3000 said, did an interview a long time ago when Quim and I, which was their third album, came out.
Right.
He was saying that in the video for Rosa Parks, he has like football pads and like the shaggy pants and like a wig. And he was saying that if I did this in the very beginning, we would have never, there'd be no Outkast because people weren't ready.
Right.
For that, we had to kind of play by the rules, stretch it a little bit, and then when we got in there, make everybody see like we're not actually playing by the rules. Eminem, very similar. Like his first album, he kind of was playing the game a little bit, but you could see that there was a desire to not play by the rules.
Yeah,
and then it progressed from there.
He's always been really exciting. Like when I remember when he came out, it was very jarring.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. There wasn't really anything like him.
It blew my mind. I still go back and listen to that, some of his older stuff. It just blows my mind. That was another artist that really is another cornerstone, like as far as defining my style. Like very similar to Outkast in the overall spirit, you know, but very different in terms of the way that it sounds and kind of what he represents. But still more of that same thing that I realized, like, oh, man. And I realized, again, same thing. Oh, man. Like, it really is about the person's journey. Like, it's not about a specific group of people.
Right.
It's about the individual person's journey. And so he kind of took me in another direction where Outkast opened it up for me where I was like, okay, I want to rap. And I was writing, like, really, like, very Southern-sounding, like, goofy raps, you know? And then when I discovered Eminem's music, you know, in my early teens and then into my, you know, late teens, that's when I started really writing very structured bars and very structured songs.
Yeah.
And I started to battle and really hone some of the more technical elements.
Right.
So I'd say between Andre 3000 and Eminem, obviously with Big Boi thrown in there as well, those are the people that really got me into it, really made me want to pursue it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, let me ask you this, man. You came up in a time when music was already like on the internet, mm-hmm. and being passed around and stuff. Mm-hmm. Where do you stand on like the streaming services?
Oh, they're great, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I hear all the music. That's all there is now. That's how I hear all the music. That's how I make, you know, the money that I make off music. That's how I make it. Spotify, iTunes, stuff like that. So I think it's great. I think that it's going to be the norm. It already is the norm.
It is, yeah.
I think that that's awesome because we can, you know, make less things out of plastic.
Yeah.
So that, yeah, I think it's great, man. I think it's great.
No one's ever talked about the ecological.
Yeah. Less plastic. That's, yeah. Anything for less plastic,
yeah,
is awesome.
Like, so do you don't put your stuff out on vinyl?
No, we, well, I use flash drives, so they're, yeah, plastic, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, but yeah.
It's so, less.
Yeah, it's exactly. It's less. It's,
I mean,
a
you're
lot
doing
less.
What you can.
Doing what we can, yeah. So we use flash drives for any kind of physical merch. But we do have, you know, we do have CDs.
Yeah.
We try to minimize that, though, because it is a lot of plastic. So.
Do people still buy a lot of CDs? Do they? Or do you notice
I just bought a cup. I feel like if people want something to listen to it in the car and they don't have an auxiliary cable,
right,
they may, you know, I bought a few CDs the other day when we were in, I was at Amoeba and we bought some CDs.
Oh,
people
nice.
Still buy them. Vinyl's coming
in LA?
Back.
Yeah,
in
LA. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Vinyl's coming back in a big way.
Yeah.
Vinyl's coming back in a huge way. But I don't think people go
into. I have Yeezus on vinyl.
What? Yeah, what?
I have Yeezus on
Yeezus.
Vinyl.
Yeezus?
Yeah.
That was a weird album. I like the my Dark Twisted Fantasy a little bit better than Yeezus.
Did you?
Yeah, it was good. I like Dark Twisted. The first time I heard it, I was in L.A. actually, and I was listening to it. That was like my L.A. anthem was that album.
Yeah.
I love that album. It's good.
Do you like L.A.?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah?
Yeah. I like every place. I don't really dislike anywhere. You just kind of have to, you know, take it for what it is when you're out there. Because I'm always out there doing stuff. So you have to just, like, take it for what it is. But I have a couple friends that live out there. A friend of mine who's on True Detective, Gabe Luna.
Oh, wow.
Lives out there. So
on the new True Detective?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's really good, by the way.
Yeah,
I've watched it every. I'm going to watch it tonight.
Yeah, we have to. Me and my wife were. What were we doing last week? What were we doing? We didn't watch it for whatever. We can't remember what we were doing. So we got to watch it this week.
That's awesome.
Watch the one from last week tonight, and then watch the new one tonight.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's a great gig. Did you watch the last season?
No.
Of it?
No. Okay. I fell asleep every time I tried to watch it. I tried, but I fell asleep. Was it good? I heard it was awesome.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
I think this one's great. And there's a lot of internet, what's going on? I think it's just because if you do something completely different.
Yeah, you have to set it up.
It's going to freak people out.
And I think they're exploring something that not a lot of shows explore where, okay, the first two episodes of any show are going to be kind of slow because they have to introduce the characters. But they're basically doing it again and again and reintroducing new characters constantly.
Right.
So there's a certain pattern to the ebb and flow of the show in terms of the action, because you have to stop and introduce characters again.
Yeah.
You know, which is, I think, awesome. I think it's pretty cool.
And you're a comic book fan?
I am.
Do you ever watch Comic Book Men?
No, I never watched it.
Oh.
Is it cool? I don't like reality shows.
I don't think it's that cool.
I like Hoarders and Intervention. I don't really like, and Dog Whisperer. I don't really like
not guys that work at Kevin Smith's.
I don't care. No, I don't care.
Comic book shop. Mm-mm,
I don't care.
What are your, do you have any books that you get religiously? Come out? No?
Not really, no. I haven't purchased a comic book probably since I was 18 or 19 years old.
Okay.
I'm more about the movies, the animated movies, animated series. So I'm always on Netflix watching the animated Marvel series. I have Lego Marvel, all the video games. Entire X-Men animated series on DVD. It's not technically mine, but we pass it around. We have Spider-Man.
That's a nice thing.
Yeah, the Spider-Man, the whole Spider-Man animated series too. A friend of mine, Drew, has this huge DVD collection. It's huge. And one of the DVDs he got was the entire X-Men series. And we used to live together. Wait a minute. Was that him? Yes, it was, because my friend Ted borrowed it from him. Or did he borrow it from Ted? See, it just gets passed around.
But as long as it just keeps on moving.
Yeah, and so I had it for a while. Drew had it for a while. Ted had it for a while. My friend Theorem had it for a while. And so that's kind of what we never really were in. Theorem's into the books. I don't ever see my shows. I have my hype guy, Theorem.
I was going to tell you, where did I see you? It wasn't this last South by Southwest, but it was the one before.
Okay.
I want to say it was outside. I was drunk, and I remember I was going to go say hi to you. Was it outside or was it inside?
I don't know. I had so many shows. I don't know. Maybe. I did outside and inside shows both years, so I don't know.
Okay. I'm sorry. I don't know where it was.
It's okay. But yeah, he's into the books. I remember he had Venom versus Punisher, and he had a lot of the Spider-Man books. My friend Drew has a lot of books, but I'm more into the animation, video games, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not the live action movies.
Yeah, live action movies for sure. Yeah, yeah.
You haven't seen it. Ant-Man.
Yeah, I'll see it. It's out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to go see it on Friday, but my wife didn't want to go. So we have all these dogs in our house, so we can't really leave.
Yeah, I gotta go do that now. Do we have anything? Is there anything I'm missing? I love talking to you, man.
Thanks, man.
You're a great guy. You're a fucking really, really, really talented man.
Thank you.
And you're a great hang. I like hanging out and talking to you. Next time I go see you, no matter how drunk I am, I will come up and
Weird
say
City.
Hi, don't make fun of me.
Weird City.
Weird City? That's where... Oh, yeah. Oh, let's talk about this.
Yeah.
Okay. Weird City, the hip-hop festival, Empire Control Room and Garage, September 18th and 19th.
I'll see you there.
I will be there.
You're going to be there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Riders Against the Storm.
Yeah.
League of Extraordinary G's.
Yes, sir.
Who else? There's a lot of people.
Oh, dude. It's Dobeezy's playing. Yeah. It's ridiculous. It is ridiculous.
And this is just all Austin acts?
No, it's not. It's
bringing them in from everywhere?
Yeah, they're bringing them from everywhere. They started last year where they brought in Jean Grey, Pharoah Monch, and then this year they're bringing in acts from all over the place, man. It's definitely grown into something that's pretty awesome, and it's something that's getting pretty big momentum.
That's great.
In terms of the region, I think this is if you were to look at just this region in terms of hip hop festivals, in terms of collectives, I mean, I don't see another one that's as awesome as this, you know, to be honest with you.
Well, people going out to Weird City Hip Hop Festival, Empire Control Room and Garage, September 18th and 19th. You will see a shitload of hip hop from all over.
You will.
And and a lot of Austin acts.
Yeah, you'll see, pretty much anybody that's doing anything here in Austin, you should see them there. A lot of different acts, younger guys, some of the more established acts you'll see. It's going to be pretty awesome. Magna Carta is going to be there, obviously the League, Subculture Patriots, LNS crew, there's a Kid Jones's crew, they'll be there. Minds of a Different Kind will be there. Like, it's all the people that you expect to
what
see.
What about, do you know this guy, Cripple Hayes?
Cripple Hayes, yeah, dude, stuff, Induced.
That guy's great.
Induced album. Yeah, man. Cripple Hayes, is Cripple Hayes playing? I don't know, let's see. He should be certified. He's got to be. Let's see.
Yeah, certified. These are all people I've reached
out to. Yeah, Cripple's playing. Yeah, dude, Cripple Hayes is playing. Certified's playing. Crew 5-4, Clements, Worldwide.
Would you do me a favor? Would you tell like the dude, like just be like, hey, go on Johnny's show because he's. I want to represent. I want this represented. This style of music represented.
They don't listen to me, bro.
They don't.
They don't listen to me. No, I'm just joking. I mean, I don't know. I'll say, hey, man, it's a pretty cool show. I think that'd be cool. We need more advocates for the music and however we can get them, you know?
Yeah, and I like it. I just, AJ Vallejo and I have this cooking show. You know AJ? We have this cooking web series on YouTube, but he always brings me music he's working on. He's been working on a lot of stuff with Zeely, and he brought me some music and played it for me. It's fucking awesome.
Zilly's doing his thing right now.
Yeah.
Zilly's doing his, I can't even, like, yo, he's doing his thing. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's just, you know, a matter of us really capitalizing on the momentum and really just taking it to that next level, so.
That's always a tough thing for a local scene to do.
It's tough, man, especially when you just, you know, there's not a whole lot of infrastructure here in terms of hip-hop, you know?
No,
we're basically
isn't.
Just, like, deciding this as we go. You know, like,
and you're figuring it out.
Yeah, which
and
is fun.
You got to set up an infrastructure because whatever has happened here before,
you have to build on that and build something on top of it.
It enabled. I mean, you saw it with Gary.
Yeah.
You know, it enabled a guy that where there is an infrastructure for this one style of music.
Yeah.
If you can get on a national stage with that, we can get you to that national. Yeah. You know what I mean? If
and
you're good enough
Shaky
to go
too.
Play with those guys, yeah.
Shaky too. That's the homie too.
Yeah. Shaky Graves.
Shaky.
Well, man, thank you so much for coming. People should get out and get the anime tape. It's fantastic.
Yes. Franchise.com.
Franchise.com. Mm-hmm. All your stuff is on Spotify.
Yes.
You have a great SoundCloud, too. You keep stuff coming up on
I
there.
I do. New stuff, yeah.
People should go check out your SoundCloud, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all the franchising, and franchise.com.
Yep.
Where you can see the videos that I talked about for Snotnose and for Hennessy and Orchata. I'm gonna have that. I'm gonna try it.
It's good, dude. It will get you pretty drunk, so
okay.
Take it easy on it.
I'm gonna go slow. Thank you, man.
Alright, man, appreciate it. She be jerking at the wrist in the city of the angels, devils wanna kiss.
I be smoking killer with the Vato. Franchise, don't forget that you can find out all about him at franchise.com. He's such a great artist. He's got some great videos up there for that song Snotnose that you just heard and the song that you're about to hear, which is Hennessy and Orchata. Of course, I'm going to play that song. We were talking about it the whole time. Don't forget, you can see him September 18th and 19th at the Weird City Hip Hop Festival at the Empire Control Room and Garage right here in Austin, Texas, along with many of Austin and the nation's great hip hop acts. All right? So don't forget, you can follow him also on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. While you're out there liking Franchise's Facebook page, don't forget that you can like our Facebook page. How did I get here? Like it. You will see photo of me and Franchise just hanging out here in my kitchen. Had a great time talking to him. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. Let's listen to the song Hennessy and Orchata. Have a great week. Don't forget, episode 400, live recording if you're in Austin, the Townsend, next Wednesday, July 29th from 8 to 10. I will have AJ Vallejo, Nakia, Jazz Mills, Susanna Schaffel, and of course, the great cocktail guru, Justin Elliott, will be making drinks for us, and we'll be talking over there at the Townsend. If you're in Austin, come on out, be a part of it. Get involved with this podcast, okay? Let's hear some more music from Franchise, Hennessy and Orchata. Maybe we should tell Justin Elliott about that. Maybe have some of those at the live podcast. Here's some more music from Franchise. Let's get down. Have a great week, people.
Ricey K. Hennessy and Orchata, that's that Hennessy and Orchata. I drink Hennessy, I got Hennessy, I mix Hennessy and Orchata. I be like, you know it,
sabes de que se trata.
That's that Hennessy, I got Hennessy, I put Hennessy and Orchata.
Hennessy and Orchata, to start the night off proper. Fresh out of Foot Locker with a brand new pair of Air Max from 1994. Better go to the doctor, cause I'm leaving you sick. When you find out that you're bitch, I hate feeling for dick. Bringing me cups when I feel that I'm in need of a sip. And have a dip by the liquor store for some Henny.
horchatas. Well known all on Instagram. Shout out to those that give a damn, tagging me when they got some. I be like, you know it. Sabes de que se trata. Bring me breakfast tacos with papa and some Hennessy and horchata. Hennessy and horchata. Sabes de que se trata. Pour some on the curb aside first the day that I die and send me off proper.
Hennessy and horchata. That's that Hennessy and horchata. I got Hennessy, I put Hennessy. I drink Hennessy and horchata. I be like, you know it.
Sabes de que se trata.
That's that Hennessy. I got Hennessy, I put Hennessy and horchata. Hennessy and horchata. That's that Hennessy and horchata. I got Hennessy, I put Hennessy. I drink Hennessy and horchata. I be like, you know it.
Sabes de que se trata.
That's that Hennessy. I got Hennessy. I mix Hennessy and horchata.
Mixing up horchata with the hen dog. It's saying in the brain like I'm sin dog. Couple ice cubes in the middle of the cup. That's a nightcap, nigga, that's a sin dog. Weed in the city with the thick girls in it. Fuck a nigga race, you can get swirled in it. Niggas all time try stunt there. End up losing by a cunt here. Smoking purple flower, yeah, it's yellow at the top. Watch the shit change color like Trunks hair. Horchata and Henny, the symbols are plenty. We mashing for dollars, you talk about pennies. The pen is a weapon that's locked in and loaded. So every word's like a shot from a semi. A shot from a semi. No love for them hoes. I can't muster the emotion. Horchata and Henny is all you gon' need. They'll be fucking up the pool shine. It's easy to follow. She take it all down and she sippin', she swallow. She drunk off her ass trying to see me tomorrow. She drinking that shit like it's melted gelato. Nigga, that's ice cream. Bet you I could kill it with the rice skin. One brown girl, one white girl. Called them a cinnamon and rice team. Ride around town smoking joint after joint after joint after joint. Nigga, nice dreams. Nigga, steady hustle in the white thing. Wrong way to do the right thing.
Hennessy and horchata. That's that Hennessy and horchata. I got Hennessy, I put Hennessy. I drink Hennessy and horchata. I be like, you know it.
Sabes de que se trata.
That's that Hennessy. I got Hennessy, I put Hennessy. Hennessy and horchata. Hennessy and horchata. That's that Hennessy and horchata. I got Hennessy, I put Hennessy. I drink Hennessy and horchata. I be like, you know it.
Sabes de que se trata.
That's that Hennessy. I got Hennessy. I mix Hennessy and horchata.